We are in the middle of our sermon series, The Journey to Bethlehem. Based on Adam Hamilton's book, The Journey, we are reading the familiar gospel stories surrounding the birth of Jesus and seeking to gain insight into our own Advent journey. On the first Sunday, we reflected on the story of Mary and her willingness to say yes to God's invitation. Last Sunday, with Bishop Minerva Carcano as our guest preacher, we reflected on the story of Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew and learned about God's higher righteousness, which Joseph accepted. Today, we come back to Mary in the Gospel of Luke as she visits her relative, Elizabeth. There is no record of how Mary was feeling after the angel Gabriel had departed, leaving her with the news that she would give birth to a child, a son, who would be the long-awaited Messiah. But at the very least, Mary must have been very confused and terrified. How could she not be? How was she supported? How was she supposed to break the news of her pregnancy to her family and friends, especially to her fiancé, Joseph? As a faithful teenager, Mary would have been well aware that she could be put to public shame and even death because of her out-of-wedlock pregnancy. This is what the law and tradition of her time would have called for. So what did this young woman decide to do? Run away, of course. As today's scripture tells us, she went out with haste to visit her relative Elizabeth in a Judean town. Elizabeth was an older relative who was married to Zechariah, a priest. After many years of trying unsuccessfully to have a baby, this couple had reached old age, well past having hope of conceiving biological children of their own. Then one day, out of the blue, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah while he was on duty at the temple in the most sacred part of the sanctuary called the Holy of Holies. Gabriel told him that his wife would have a son. The angel's prophecy turned out to be true, as his wife Elizabeth soon became pregnant. Perhaps this was the excuse Mary needed. She could tell her parents that she wanted to go to help her dear cousin, her dear relative, her older relative, Aunt Elizabeth, in the sixth month of what would have been a very abnormal pregnancy. Actually, we are told in the scripture that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, implying that she stayed until Elizabeth's baby was born. Christian tradition claims Ein Karem, a village on a hill a few miles from Jerusalem, as the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and the birthplace of their son, John the Baptist. Today, there are many churches and monasteries in that small town of only 2,000 people, but it attracts over 3 million people a year from around the world. Ein Karim is 80 miles away from Nazareth, Mary's hometown. This means that Mary's trip to Elizabeth and Zechariah's home probably took about 9 or 10 days by foot. It is highly likely that she was not traveling alone, though, but with a caravan of many other adults who were making the trip to Jerusalem. Regardless, it would still have been quite the trip for a recently pregnant 13-year-old girl to take. You can imagine how desperately Mary might have longed for someone whom she could talk to, who might believe her story and help her. And she must have wondered about how her relative, the wife of a priest, would receive her. After the 80-mile trip, the journey, the hard, difficult journey, Mary finally arrived at Elizabeth's home. And the encounter of the two women indicates to us the depth of their relationship. Let us hear the scripture again. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. Then Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to Mary in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Can you imagine the sense of relief Mary must have felt when she heard these words? All the fear and anxiety must have fallen off her shoulders. With a welcome like that, Mary would have known she could trust Elizabeth, that she could share with her all that had happened to her, the incredible visit and news delivered by the angel Gabriel. I am sure Mary's words, the encounter she had, did not make sense to Elizabeth at all. But Elizabeth simply believed Mary. She just accepted and embraced Mary, who was troubled just as she was. And she blesses Mary and the child in her womb using the word blessed 3 times. What a sight to behold. A woman who has conceived well past the age of childbearing, telling this teenage girl that she and her baby to be born out of wedlock, is blessed among all women. What is a common image of a blessed life? Of course, it is a comfortable life. Every Sunday we gather the prayer concerns, and without failing, every Sunday someone puts this prayer request, blessings, God's blessings to be on me and my family and my friends. So when we count God's blessings, we name our health and wealth, our job and promotion, our business, our house, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. But Mary's blessedness did not have anything to do with an easy and comfortable life. Actually, it was the opposite. She was called to deliver a child out of wedlock, in a lowly manger, no less. She would then have to flee to Egypt, when King Herod tried to kill her child. She had to endure watching her son being constantly criticized by others, mobs wanting to kill him even in their hometown, and his dying on the cross. What kind of blessed life is that? About being blessed, Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and say bad things about you and even hurt you." Clearly, being blessed in the kingdom of God does not mean getting the things that can make your life easy and comfortable, just happy. Instead, it is about being part of God's plan, being used by God for the work of building God's kingdom in this world. Greatly encouraged by Elizabeth's acceptance, Mary responds to the words of blessing with a praise to God, which is known as Magnificat. Drawing from the song of Hannah, a faithful woman of God, who was the mother of the great prophet Samuel. And her story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Mary makes bold statements about God's character. She says, "God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Mary, who is singing this powerful song, is no longer a fearful teenager, but a brave mother who is carrying the Messiah in her womb. In the presence of Elizabeth, who believed and trusted her, Mary's fear faded away, and she is now filled with great joy and hope. Mary needed someone who could help her gain perspective on what she was facing. She needed someone who would listen to and believe in her, and someone who would encourage her. She found all that and more in her relative, Elizabeth. For Mary, Elizabeth, this older woman, was her mentor and guide. She listened to Mary without judging her. She accepted and encouraged her wholeheartedly. She blessed her again and again and again. She provided for affirmation and perspective. All of us need Elizabeth in our own lives. Someone who is possibly older than us. Someone whom we can freely, without fear, turn to for encouragement, support, and guidance. And we all need to be an Elizabeth for someone who is possibly younger than us, who needs our encouragement, support, and guidance. Who is your Elizabeth? Who is it that serves as your mentor and guide? Who is your Mary, whom you are encouraging and supporting and helping? For me, one of my Elizabeths was Reverend Barbara Danica, Barbara Denica, who was my mentor for my ordination process. She happened to serve a church nearby, just within 5 minutes driving distance from my first church. Officially, we met once a month, but anytime I knew I could turn to her for any questions, any times of needing her, just her listening ears. I just could turn to her. I knew because from the very beginning, when I asked her about how to do as a clergy this tax report, tax filing, she said, "Well, this is my tax return, just look at it. And if you have any questions, let me know." She just shocked me with that kind of honesty and candidness and just vulnerability. Whenever I asked her about very, very delicate things in the church, in the life of the church, she would always tell her own stories to help me understand better and see better the situation that I was in. She continued to listen to me and guide me and encouraged me when I told her someone in my church was complaining about ministry. She said, "They never know what you are doing. Just keep going, keep moving, keep visiting, keep preaching the word of God, and just keep loving." Unfortunately, she died of a cancer not many years after we had a relationship. But still, in her spirit, she still mentors me and guides me. And whenever I feel down, I think of her and her smile, her statements, her words that she spoke to me. "Oh, Gyeon, you are doing well." One of my Marys is Reverend Kim in the Wisconsin Annual Conference. She and I developed a relationship when she was in the seminary. She came to me asking for a reference letter as she was applying for a scholarship. So that started our relationship, unofficial mentor and mentee relationship. And just we kept not face to face, but on the phone. And she knows that she can call me anytime. She can ask me any question as I felt that way to my mentor when I was in my ordination process. Just a month ago, she sent me a text saying, "Can I call you Onni?" She's Korean, so Onni means older sister. She always used to call me Reverend Pastor Kim, but now, Pastor Kim is in Korean way, because it's my maiden name. But this time she said, "Can I call you Onni?" Just older sister. I feel that closeness toward you. And she and I will continue, as long as I live, I will continue to help her and mentor her and listen to her whenever she needs me. So who is your Elizabeth and who is your Mary? As we celebrate this third Sunday of Advent, let us be joyful for the Elizabeth we have in our congregation, our wonderful Sunday school teachers and helpers, and confirmation class mentors who have done that work of mentoring in the past and who continue to do so now. Those who are helping children, not only our children of our church family, but our neighbor children by going to Rosemary School every week and reading for children there. These mentors in our midst who sacrifice their time in a labor of love to welcome and mentor our younger sisters and brothers in Christ. Christ, may you too experience the joy that Elizabeth felt as she received Mary with open arms. And may we be joyful for the Marys in our midst as well, our younger members who are boldly carrying with them the new seeds of faith. May you also experience the joy in your spirit that Mary felt when she received her many blessings from Elizabeth. For the new faith you carry will surely be a blessing for our community and for God's kingdom to celebrate and enjoy. And may we be joyful for the testimony of Mary and Elizabeth, two amazing women who show us what it means to say yes to God and become blessings to each other and to the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen.